This is The Evening Buzz, presented by Mikhail Atiyah.
The Swedish publisher that is Embracer Group has been, for some time, on a bit of a shopping spree, acquiring studio after studio, and even getting their hands on some major intellectual properties. And for quite some time now, Embracer Group has suffered a few fumbles, such as cost-cutting, laying off, shutting down a few of their studios, and restructuring. They like to use the word restructuring. And their most recent sellout is Gearbox Entertainment, a major studio that's involved in developing some big games like Borderlands. They have officially now divested Gearbox Entertainment, selling The Division to Take-Two Interactive for $460 million. Now, Take-Two Interactive is the publisher for big games like the NBA, NBA 2K, and Grand Theft Auto franchise. In a press release, Embracer shared that it is divesting Gearbox Software, Gearbox Montreal, and Gearbox Studio Quebec, and the franchises that are Borderlands, Tiny Tina's Wonderland, Homeworld, Risk of Rain, Brothers in Arms, and Duke Nukem. Embracer still will retain the rights to Gearbox Publishing San Francisco and a few other publishing rights under that as well, for franchises like Remnants, Hyper Light Breaker, and other unannounced games. Now, that means Gearbox Entertainment will be joining Take-Two's Interactive Division and will continue to be developing the new Borderlands game for the foreseeable future. Honestly, for $460 million, that's kind of a steal, because Borderlands is already a very successful looter shooter, and it does sell very well. It takes almost half a decade, maybe even more, before we get a new release of Borderlands. The last one was Borderlands 3, and it did receive mixed receptions, but still sold very well in terms of copies and sales. So we definitely will be seeing a lot more Borderlands in the future. That also does help that its relevancy did nail itself a live action film adaptation, which is coming out later this year. I'll be honest, I've seen the trailer for that movie. It's kind of in the middle for me. You know, there's things about it that does reminisce back to the style and charm of Borderlands, but I feel at times it does get overly, it feels like it's overly done, you know? But that's just my personal opinion on the film. It hasn't come out yet, so when it does, I'll be sure to share more feedback on that matter. But yeah, the relationship now between Gearbox and Take-Two has become a very significant thing in the industry, because that means whatever IPs under this studio are going to be doing very well for quite some time. And Borderlands 4, who knows when that's going to come out? A few years from now, is it going to use the same engine? Is it going to be an evolution of the previous games? Who really knows? But it's kind of like exciting news, but bad news, because this is a sign of Embracer Group really just having to cut their losses. And it's a real shame, because it means that there are people losing jobs. There are mergers that are taking place. All these little things that we don't get to see that happen behind the curtains. And this is apparently their effort to streamline its operation and refocus its resources. Embracer Group has been in a very weird position right now because of their shopping spree, just paying millions upon millions for IPs and studios, but churning up really nothing. One of the most biggest fumbles from Embracer Group I remember was the $2 billion deal they had with the Saudi government, and that did not fall through, I'm afraid. They still do have their hands on the intellectual rights to publish and make to make things, make adaptations under the Lord of the Rings Middle Earth franchise, which I think if they can really do a good job, at least with one release, whatever it may be, I think they can. They do have a golden goose on their hand. It's been a long time since we've gotten anything regarding Lord of the Rings adaptations. There is some stuff happening later this year, but nothing from Embracer Group that I would be so super stoked for. They are involved with the Amazon Studios when it comes to the MMO Lord of the Rings, but an MMO takes many years to develop, so it's going to be a very long time before we hear anything about that. Let's take a short break, and coming up next, we're talking about Helldivers 2. Have you been playing it? I'm sure some of you have. So, let's talk about the latest updates coming up to this game and why it's such a popular multiplayer experience that everyone is gushing about. Right here on the Evening Buzz. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Pulse 95.
Pulse 95.
This past month or so, there has been one multiplayer in the minds of many gamers, and that is Helldivers 2, which is available now on PC and PlayStation. But what this game has done for the community of gamers is something truly outstanding. It is the greatest form of virtual roleplay that people have been partaking in. Helldivers 2, if you guys don't know, is a cooperative multiplayer game where you play with a squad of four players and you venture out into this galaxy in an effort to protect your super Earth. But it's all done in this very like radicalized, patriotic sort of way. It's a alternate world, alternate Earth, where, you know, it is a very militarized, unified Earth planet, where there's this mission to fend off threats that are surrounding its planet, from alien bugs to alien robots, anything that deems to threaten the democracy and the freedom of the super Earth must be taken out with full vengeance. And it's that sort of extreme intergalactic warfare that people are, you know, they're coming in droves just to be a part of it. The community is so lively and fun. Everybody seems to be enjoying their time playing this game. And what I really love about it is that it's more than just a live service. It feels like an ever-evolving virtual narrative that everyone is taking a part in. And whenever you finish a mission or a collection of missions, you actually leave a legitimate impact in this virtual, you know, in this virtual tabletop, you could say, in the virtual narrative. If you focus on liberating specific planets or completing certain missions, you can either end up completing the major objectives that the developers have laid out. And there is a think of it as like a game master or a dungeon master who is overseeing this narrative unfold and, you know, filling in the next objective, the next major chapter. And it creates a very engaging and enthralling experience that even after you walk out of, you know, the game for a day and come back a few days later, you're hearing from the communities about the next upcoming threat, or they rolled out some new support content, you know, like new weaponry that you can use in the battlefield. And it's this constant proper execution of in-game storytelling, just fun gameplay, fun and really refreshing mission structures, and you're left with something that is very special to a lot of people. And I can't help myself, I've clocked in at least more than 50 hours into Helldivers 2, and I've been having an absolute blast. So one of the latest things that they've added actually are two new stratagems for players to employ against enemies in their missions. First is the MG-101 heavy machine gun, and also the laser quasar last or yeah the laser cannon. And you can already imagine, two new weapons to everything else that's already added. And they do, it's quite clever because we know that there's going to be future content coming up. But the way they're spacing it out, the pacing of it, is pretty natural. Like, we're every couple of weeks, we're getting something new that changes up the meta, that changes up the strategy for players who, you know, probably thought that they got the game figured out until something new comes up. And it's like, okay, how am I going to use this new weaponry or new stratagems to deal with the ongoing challenges of my missions? Super, super amazing. I think Helldivers 2 has really cracked the code on how to make a very enthralling live service experience, one that works well thematically and builds on a really great ever-evolving narrative that everyone has a part in, and at the same time building a community of players who are dedicated, who are part of that role playing, and they enjoy role playing the part of, you know, a radicalized democratic soldier. All these little things, it's one success after the other, and I give kudos to the team and the vision that they doubled down on with Helldivers 2. I know there's going to be a lot more great news coming up from this game, and its success doesn't just end here, but we'll see a lot more in the foreseeable future. Helldivers 2 is here to stay, and that's rare in an in a very intensely competitive multiplayer market where live services shut down in a month if they can't get the player count, the player base that they need. But Helldivers 2 has stayed very strong, and I think it will continue to stay strong for the near future. Let's take a short break, and coming up next, we're talking about Ubisoft, who is trying to find their way into the shooters market with their next big FPS franchise. They're calling it X-Defiant. Could it really be a Call of Duty killer? Let's find out right here on The Evening Buzz. Stay tuned.
Pulse 95.
Ubisoft Studios, the big publisher house for some of the popular franchises like Assassin's Creed, Watch Dogs, and their most recent release, Skull and Bones, which isn't really doing well from what I understand. But then again, it's a live service, so give it a few years and I think it'll do just fine. That's how live services usually do. But their next big project, this is their little ambitious take on trying to tap back into the shooters market. You know, you have big FPS games out there, the likes of Call of Duty, Fortnite, Apex Legends, and many more. But those are usually the top three. And Ubisoft has been working on a shooter game called X-Defiant. And it was supposed to actually release a bit of a beta, a short test beta that people could try sometime, actually now. But then we got the unfortunate news that it's going to be delayed again for the foreseeable future. This came as an update from Ubisoft San Francisco. The studio said that there are still improvements that need to be tested before X-Defiant can launch. The team is also preparing for a 12-hour server test session that is going to be on a PC, PlayStation, and Xbox. And the goal for the test is to see how much stress the servers can handle. Ubisoft San Francisco even expects to be able to decide a launch very, very soon after these tests are concluded. But here's the thing. What is X-Defiant and why is it such a big deal for Ubisoft? Well, X-Defiant is supposed to be Ubisoft's answer to Activision's Call of Duty, because right now, there's nothing really out there that competes with Call of Duty. Call of Duty is just a franchise so big on its own that it's a beast. It comes out every year with a new game. It has three major studios under its belt and other little subsidiary studios working on future Call of Duties, keeping it up to date as much as possible. And Ubisoft, I think, is just realizing that they feel the need to step in and try to compete against Call of Duty and offer something else, which I think is great. any industry, no matter what it is, competition is always great because that means that its competitors will always want to do better and try to strive for something greater to win back their consumers. And so it becomes a competition for who can make the better product or the better experience. And that means it's a win-win for the consumers and the competitors themselves. So I think, honestly, at a point now where we see Call of Duty kind of stagnating, there is a stagnation with Call of Duty. Modern Warfare 3, which came out back in November, has been an abysmal release. I think it's one of the worst Call of Duties in the recent years. It is creatively lazy, campaign really short, the zombies mode lazy, just Warzone and multiplayer. And even the multiplayer was just a collection of remastered maps from previous Call of Duty games. This is what happens when a company or a franchise becomes like a monopoly in one particular genre, in one particular market. They stagnate. They do nothing new. They don't innovate. They don't do anything that's worthwhile, because why? They're at the top. They're monopolizing the market. They're going to make the money anyway. So let's make it with the least amount of effort, right? But I think X Defiant, if it can be done right and offer something that could really differentiate itself from Call of Duty, could help push Activision to do better with future Call of Duty installments. And that's just for me as a person who has played many Call of Duty titles throughout the years. So yeah, it's much needed to have that sort of competition. But in the meantime, X Defiant has been delayed, and hopefully we'll hear more about it later this year, at least in the year of 2024. And that, guys, wraps it up here for the Evening Buzz. Thanks so much for tuning in, and I'll see you guys next Friday from 8 till 9 p.m. Keeping you guys busy and entertained all throughout the week and shift, only here on Pulse 95. This is Mikhail Atiyah signing out. Have a good one.
If you liked this episode of The Evening Buzz, drop a like and subscribe. Be sure to follow us on Instagram for all our daily updates and top stories.